Sun Yung-shin is an award-winning Minnesota writer and poet. She's also an educator and activist. In 2016, she edited the book A Good Time for the Truth, Race in Minnesota. It features essays on what it's like to live as a person of color in Minnesota and includes writers Keo Kalia Yang, Rodrigo Sanchez Chavarria, Shannon Gibney, David Lawrence Grant, Hyde Erdrich, and many others. A Good Time for the Truth was just named our next One Book, One Minnesota Read. It's been made freely available for Minnesotans to engage in a collective reading and to come together as a virtual community. I had the opportunity to speak with Sun Yung-shin and asked how A Good Time for the Truth came to be.
Sure. About 2 years before the book came out in April of 2016, I noticed in public discourse that there was a little bit more talk about racial disparities in terms of quote unquote achievement gaps, especially, and a little bit maybe in health disparities. But it was almost all white people talking about it. And in particular, I remember, you know, I would listen to NPR every day on my commute to my job as a high school English teacher. And all the hosts were white. They've been white up until last year. And the morning hosts are white. And oftentimes their guests would be white to talk about racial disparities. And I kept thinking, these people don't know what they're talking about. They might be talking about data. They would often be talking about it in terms of data with standards and goals set by white society and white culture. I've been preoccupied with race and class and gender my whole life. And that's been the driver for my work as a writer and as a teacher. And I started to think, you know, I know all of these amazing people. I know all of these amazing writers. Many of us have been thinking about and writing about racism and culture and place for many years, but no one is asking us what we think or why Minnesota is so racist. But we know from experience that there is a big gap between Minnesota's white self-image and the experience, the everyday experiences of Indigenous people and people of color. And so I had already been acquainted with Anne Regan, the head editor at Minnesota Historical Society Press, because we'd been on some panels because I had co-edited an anthology that came out in 2006 with South End Press, Outsiders Within. I approached Anne with the idea I'd like to do a book on racism, and specifically in Minnesota, because it's so strange here is what I experienced when I moved here. I felt like I moved here from Boston to finish my bachelor's degree at McAllister College, and it's kind of the minute I got here, I thought, where are the Black people? Where are the people of color? Like, this is a really surreal place, in particular, the McGroveland area at the time, especially. And so she said, that sounds great. Let's do that. And then we just went from there. And I started, you know, putting together what I thought the book's focus should be and what kinds of essays I was looking for. And she had to convince the rest of the press that this was a good idea. And I always tell the story because I think it's so important that she brought the idea to the committee, the editorial committee, and someone said, well, won't that make people uncomfortable? And she said, yes, that's really the point. I mean, it's going to make many white people uncomfortable. And as we've come to see, it's allowed a lot of people of color in the state to see their own experiences reflected, because we're so often told that it's not racist, that we are being too sensitive, or we are seeing things, experiencing things that aren't really happening, or that we're reverse racists, or so on, so on. The essays are, you know, from I've heard from thousands of other folks from all different kinds of walks of life, that the essays are really accessible. They're engaging, their stories more than anything, their personal stories, they're vulnerable. There's humor, there's grief. They're very different, that people of color in the state are not a monolith. We don't hold all the same experiences or same feelings or thoughts. And I encourage people to explore them and just have an open mind and an open heart and allow themselves to, yeah, be in conversation and in community with the folks whose work is in the book and with everything that's gone into the book, which is the history of, you know, the United States, history of colonialism, all of our ancestors, history of the United States, foreign policy. You know, it's just everything's connected. And anyone who wants to see more peace and justice in the world will definitely find some wisdom and some spaces of reflection and self-reflection in there.
I'm talking with Minnesota writer and poet Sunyoung Shin. She's the author of the book A Good Time for Truth, Race in Minnesota, which has recently been chosen as the next One Book, One Minnesota Read. Young Shin, if you don't mind my getting personal, what was your reaction to the killing of George Floyd and the resulting protests? And what has the past few weeks been like for you?
I was just heartbroken. I mean, I'm heartbroken every day by America. And I live on Chicago Avenue, just about a mile south of Cup Foods. And Chicago Avenue has been a hub for a lot of my life for many years. I was devastated. I felt like this was very close to me. I mean, physically and emotionally felt very, very visceral. Yeah, I felt rage. I felt like I'm broken. I'm continuing to be broken. This place is not broken in that it works how it was designed to work, but it's just killing so many people. I'm the same age as George Floyd. Yeah, my whole community has just been an intense grief and rage and exhaustion. I mean, in particular, Black people. So I want to be really clear that it's really different to be a person of color, but not a Black person. So the resulting protests and uprisings and demonstrations, I was really worried about all of the people on the street and my friends who were on the street because of COVID-19 and because of, more directly, because of police violence. That whole hub area of Lake and Minnehaha, a lot of my life is around there as well. So it was extremely stressful, extremely activating, you know, not sleeping, watching the news or Unicorn Riot, or, you know, checking in with friends constantly, watching social media constantly, trying to make sure, just figure out what was happening. I wasn't able to be out on the streets because of who's in my household and immunosuppressed systems. So that's been very difficult. I've been trying to do whatever I can from within my house. So also my house had to evacuate on the Friday, or felt it necessary to evacuate because of the fires and the fires that weren't being put out by the Minneapolis Fire Department, and because of the white supremacist threats. I mean, at least two different groups or individuals in trucks, two or three in trucks and on foot, drove by our house. We had a Black Lives Matter sign in the window forever. And they were cruising by and they were taking pictures and turning around and pausing. And then of course, other people's houses got those notes saying, "We see your sign, we're coming back to burn your house." And people I know were finding, you know, gasoline soaked pieces of wood in their alley. People I know whose stores were, you know, destroyed. So I really felt I was just trying to follow mostly Black women activists, like whatever they were saying about what was happening was what I took to be reality. You know, I was out constantly checking that against national news and paying attention to what world news was saying about the United States and saying about Minneapolis. So it was a very difficult, really 2 or 3 weeks, and it's still difficult, but there's not fires being set. But there's still demonstrations every day. I think people have just been kind of hyper-vigilant and then starting to try to take care of themselves a little bit better so they can, you know, rest and then come back to it. So that's been good to see a little bit of that happen.
A Good Time for the Truth, Race in Minnesota has recently been chosen as our next One Book, One Minnesota read. What does it mean to you that this book has been made available to everyone in the state through this program?
I'm aggrieved that we still need this book, that people still aren't paying attention, paying enough attention or to what people of color, Native people, enslaved Black people, Black writers, artists have been saying for 400 years. We're not saying anything particularly new, but we know that in Minnesota, so many Minnesotans could read books by other people of color or even other white people about racism in the U.S. And most Minnesotans, most white Minnesotans would say that's in the South, that's somewhere else, that's in bigger cities, that's not here. We're good white people here. People of color here are happy that they live in such a good state. Even though our book has sold over 30,000 copies since it came out, and we're really, you know, it's a dualistic situation because we're glad that people are engaging with the book because we poured our hearts and souls into these pieces and into the work. But we all wish that the book wasn't necessary. We'd like to do other things with our lives too, other than worry about whether our children are going to come home, worry about whether our partners and friends are going to, you know, survive an encounter with the police, or, you know, just all of the things, large and small, that go on day to day. So I'm glad that the One Book, One Minnesota made the decision, because I think that it's going to be a helpful intervention, but we're not happy that it's needed so urgently.
That was Sun Young Shin. She's a Minnesota poet and writer and editor of A Good Time for the Truth, Race in Minnesota, our current One Book, One Minnesota read. I hope you check out this important book and have some good and honest conversations about it.